Welcome back to CyberShield Weekly. I'm Alex, and joining me, as always, is cybersecurity analyst Sarah Chen. It is Tuesday, June 22nd, 2026, and this is Volume 1, Issue 39.
Great to be here. And we have a packed episode this week, a lot to unpack.
We do. Today, we are covering a 29-year-old vulnerability that is still actively leaking your users' data right now. We are talking about a new malware campaign hijacking Google Ads to steal credentials. We have got serious warnings about AI platform security that every business running AI tools needs to hear. Plus, our small business corner, a practical tech tip, and our CTO's desk with Daniel Ramos from Intelligent Automation.
And the through line this week is something we have been building toward for months on this show, the collision between old, neglected infrastructure and brand new AI systems. That collision is where attackers are living right now.
So let's get into it. Stay with us. All right, Sarah, let's start with the story that frankly stopped me in my tracks this week, Squid Bleed. Tell our listeners what this is.
So Squid Proxy, let me start there. A proxy server is basically a middleman between your employees' computers and the internet. Instead of your staff connecting directly to websites, the traffic flows through this proxy, which can filter content, log activity, cache data, all of that. Squid is one of the most widely used proxy servers on the planet. It is open source, it runs in thousands of corporate networks, schools, government agencies.
And it has a bug.
It has a bug that is 29 years old. Researchers are calling it Squid Bleed. The technical classification is a heap overread, meaning the software reads more memory than it is supposed to, and in doing so, it can accidentally expose data from one user session to another user. And we are not talking about encrypted data. We are talking about clear text HTTP requests. So usernames, passwords, session tokens, those are the digital keys that keep you logged into a website, all of it potentially visible.
And this traces back to 1997. A code change made during the Clinton administration is still sitting in production environments today.
Which is the definition of technical debt. Technical debt is when you make a quick fix or take a shortcut in software and just never go back and clean it up. And it accumulates over decades in this case.
What does this mean for a 50-person company using Squid in their network?
It means that if an attacker already has access to your network, and that could be through a compromised employee laptop, a phishing email, anything, they can potentially intercept the HTTP traffic of your other users passing through that proxy. So if someone on your team logs into a vendor portal, a banking dashboard, an internal tool, that credential could be readable.
So the action right now is?
Check whether Squid is in your environment. Your IT person or managed service provider can tell you in about 30 seconds. If it is, patch it immediately. The Squid team has a patch available. If you are running a version of Squid that has not been updated recently, this is your wake-up call. No nostalgia for old software. Patch it or replace it.
No nostalgia for old software. I love that. Okay, second story. And this one is going to make you think twice the next time you click a Google ad. Oxloader and CastleSteiner.
This one is genuinely clever and genuinely dangerous. So researchers at Elastic Security Labs uncovered a new campaign that starts with something almost everyone does every day, clicking a Google search ad. You search for a software tool, maybe a PDF editor, maybe a video converter, something that sounds totally legitimate, and there's an ad at the top of the results that looks completely real.
Because it is a real Google ad. That is the whole point.
Exactly. Attackers are purchasing Google ads for search terms related to legitimate software. The ad looks authentic, the URL might look plausible, but when you click it, you are downloading something called Oxloader. That's the malware loader, meaning its job is to sneak onto your machine and then pull down the real payload.
And the payload is CastleSteiner.
CastleSteiner is an information-stealing malware, an info-stealer. Its job is to quietly harvest everything valuable on your machine. Browser cookies, saved passwords, cryptocurrency wallets, session tokens, credit card data stored in browsers. It grabs all of it and sends it back to the attackers.
And that is the part that keeps me up at night, because this doesn't require any technical sophistication from the victim. You just search for software, you click the top result, and you are compromised.
And your employees cannot outclick a well-crafted malicious ad. You cannot train your way out of this one purely through awareness. You need technical controls.
So what do businesses do?
Three things. First, DNS filtering. DNS is the system that translates website names into actual addresses, like a phone book for the internet. DNS filtering services like Cisco Umbrella or Cloudflare Gateway block known malicious domains before the connection is ever made. Second, enforce a policy that software can only be downloaded from approved sources. Your IT team, your internal software portal, the vendor's official website directly. Third, Consider browser isolation for your highest risk users, finance, HR, executives. Browser isolation runs web browsing in a separate container so that even if something malicious loads, it cannot touch your actual machine.
Great practical steps. Now let us talk about the AI security story, because this one has implications that go well beyond just the tech team. DiffyTap, 4 vulnerabilities in the Diffy platform.
So Diffy is an open source platform that businesses use to build AI-powered workflows and AI agents. It has over 146,000 stars on GitHub, which is a measure of how widely used and respected a project is in the developer community. Lots of companies are using Diffy to build internal AI tools, customer-facing chatbots, automated workflows.
And researchers found 4 vulnerabilities, collectively being called DiffyTap, that could allow an attacker to read AI conversations from other tenants on the same platform.
Let me explain the tenant piece. When a software platform is multi-tenant, it means multiple organizations or multiple customers are all running on the same underlying infrastructure, but separated from each other, like apartments in a building. You have your own space, your neighbor has theirs. DiffyTap is essentially a flaw that lets someone walk through the walls between those apartments and read what is happening in another tenant's AI conversations.
And think about what lives in those AI conversations. Employees asking their AI assistant about proprietary business strategies, finance teams querying sensitive data, customer service bots processing personal customer information.
Exactly. If you are running a multi-tenant AI platform, you should audit your tenant isolation controls immediately. Ask your vendor or your IT team if you are self-hosting how tenant separation is enforced. Get confirmation that they are aware of DiffyTap and have addressed it. If you cannot get a clear answer, that itself is a red flag.
And this connects directly to the broader theme that our CTO contributor Daniel Ramos flagged this week, the convergence of legacy infrastructure and new AI systems creating systemic gaps. We will get to Daniel's perspective later in the show, but that framing is so important.
It is, because organizations are layering AI on top of infrastructure that was never designed with AI in mind, and that creates blind spots.
All right, one more story before we get to government alerts. And this is more forward-looking, but critical for anyone in the mobile app space. Google is setting a September 30th, 2026 deadline for Android developer verification in 4 countries: Brazil, Indonesia, Singapore, and Thailand first, and then broader rollout after that.
This is actually a positive security development. What Google is saying is that certified Android devices in these countries will block apps from unverified developers. So if your company publishes an Android app, an internal tool for your staff, a customer-facing app, anything, you need to be a verified developer with Google by September 30th, or your app gets blocked on certified devices.
The action here is simple. If you have an Android app, get your developer verification in order now. Do not wait until September 28th. Deadline surprises are not fun in cybersecurity.
And if you do not have an Android app, pay attention to this as a trend. Platform gatekeeping for security is increasing. Apple has been doing it for years. Google is catching up. That is fundamentally good for security hygiene across the ecosystem.
All right, let us shift to government alerts. What is coming out of CISA and the security research community this week?
2 things jumped out. First, web shells. The SANS Internet Storm Center flagged this week that web shells remain one of the most persistently popular tools in an attacker's toolkit. So a web shell is a small piece of malicious code that an attacker installs on a web server after compromising it. It gives them a backdoor, a persistent, hidden way to access and control that server remotely, even after you think you have cleaned up an incident.
And this is not new, but it keeps coming up because?
Because organizations patch the initial vulnerability that let the attacker in, but they don't check whether a web shell was already planted. So you patch the front door, but the attacker's back door is still wide open. The lesson is that incident response cannot stop at patching. You have to look for what was left behind.
If you have had any kind of compromise or suspicious activity on a web-facing server in the last 6 to 12 months, have someone check for web shells. Specifically, have them look for unexpected PHP files, recently modified server scripts, anything that does not belong.
The second alert is really timely. The NCSC, which is the UK's National Cybersecurity Center, issued a warning about a global targeting campaign against Fortinet firewalls and VPN gateways. Fortinet is a widely used network security vendor. Their FortiGate firewalls and FortiVPN products are in thousands of small and mid-sized business networks.
And this is not hypothetical. There is an active campaign.
active and ongoing, the NCSC is urging organizations using Fortinet products to take action immediately. Specifically, make sure you are running the latest firmware. That is the software that runs inside your firewall hardware. Check Fortinet Security Advisory's page for the current recommended versions. Enable multi-factor authentication on your VPN. That is the two-step login that requires a second verification beyond just a password. And audit your VPN user accounts for any that look unfamiliar or should have been removed.
If Fortinet is in your environment, this should be a conversation with your IT team or MSP, your managed service provider, by end of this week, not next week. This week.
And there is a bigger picture here that the NCSC CEO raised in a separate statement this week. Hostile nation states are linked to 3/4 of the cyber attacks affecting critical infrastructure in the UK. 3/4. That is not opportunistic criminal activity. That is organized, state-sponsored targeting.
And while that sounds like a government problem, those same techniques, tools, and infrastructure get used against businesses of every size. Nation-state groups share playbooks. They sell access. The threat does not stay contained to critical infrastructure.
Which is why the Fortinet warning matters even for a 50-person company. If you are using Fortinet GAFE and you haven't patched it, you are a target. Not because you are special, because you are convenient.
Let us get to the small business corner. Sarah, what is the headline this week for SMBs?
The headline is that the AI shift in cyber risk is not a future problem. It is a right now problem. And small businesses are squarely in the crosshairs for two reasons. One, they're adopting AI tools faster than they are building governance around those tools. And two, they tend to have older infrastructure that does not play well with AI systems.
So what does that look like practically for a business owner listening right now?
Let me give you three concrete, affordable steps. First, do an AI tool inventory. Make a list of every AI tool your team is using. ChatGPT, Microsoft Copilot, AI features inside your accounting software, your CRM, your email platform, everything, because you cannot protect what you do not know about.
And this is probably going on in your organization without you knowing, right? Employees are using AI tools on their own.
Shadow AI is real. Your marketing person is using an AI writing tool. Your finance team is pasting spreadsheet data into an AI assistant to get analysis. Your customer service rep is using an AI chat tool. These are not bad behaviors. They are natural, but they create risk if there is no policy around what data can go into those tools.
So step one is the inventory. Step two?
Step two is create a simple data classification policy. You do not need a 40-page document. You need a 1-page rule. Here is what is confidential. Customer data, financial records, HR information, proprietary processes, and here is a simple rule. Confidential data does not go into external AI tools that we do not have a data processing agreement with. Print it, share it, talk about it at the next team meeting.
Straightforward. What is step three?
Step three, if you are using any AI platforms or AI workflow tools, ask your vendor one question. How is my data isolated from other customers? If they cannot give you a clear, confident answer, that is a problem, and it connects directly to the DIFY tap story we discussed earlier. Tenant isolation is not just a technical nicety, it is a fundamental data security requirement.
Love it. Actionable, affordable, no PhD required. Now, let us do the tech tip. This week, we are walking through how to set up DNS filtering for your business. Sarah, take us through it like you're coaching a business owner who is not a tech person.
Perfect. So remember, DNS filtering is like having a smart phone book for your internet traffic that refuses to connect you to known bad addresses. It is one of the most effective and underused tools available to small businesses, and it is genuinely affordable.
Walk us through it step by step.
Step one, choose a DNS filtering service. For most small businesses, I recommend Cloudflare Gateway, which has a free tier that is genuinely useful. Cisco Umbrella is excellent and scales well, but has a cost. Both are good. Go to their websites and sign up for an account.
Step two?
Step two. Get your two DNS server addresses. When you set up an account with these services, they give you two IP addresses. Those are just numerical addresses, something like 1.1.1.2 and 1.0.0.2 for Cloudflare. Write those down.
Step three is where you actually make the change, right?
Right. Step three. Log into your router. Your router is the device that connects your whole office to the internet. It looks like a small box with antennas, usually from your internet provider, or from brands like Cisco Meraki, Ubiquiti, or Asus. Log into its admin panel. Your IT person or MSP can do this in minutes. And look for the DNS settings. Replace the existing DNS addresses with the two addresses from your filtering service.
And once you do that?
Every device on your network, every laptop, every phone on Wi-Fi, every tablet, automatically uses the filtered DNS.
You do not have to change anything on individual devices. It works at the network level, and it will start blocking connections to known malicious domains immediately.
Step 4 would be to log into the dashboard and set your filtering categories?
Yes. Most services let you choose categories to block. At minimum, enable malware, phishing, and command and control blocking. That last one, command and control, refers to the servers that attackers use to communicate with malware that is already on your network. Blocking those connections can stop an active attack in its tracks, even after an initial compromise.
This is one of those controls where the effort is low and the protection is genuinely meaningful. If you do nothing else from today's episode, set up DNS filtering.
And if you need help, ask your managed service provider. This should take them less than an hour and cost almost nothing.
All right, let us get to the CTO's desk. This week, we are bringing in the perspective of Daniel Ramos, CTO of Intelligent Automation. Daniel had a great framing this week that I want to unpack. Sarah, you have been tracking this too. The idea that legacy infrastructure is literally hijacking AI agents.
This is the big strategic picture that a lot of business owners are missing, and Daniel articulated it really well. We are in this moment where AI adoption is moving incredibly fast. Businesses are layering AI agents, AI assistants, AI workflow tools on top of infrastructure that is often years or even decades old. And that old infrastructure was never designed with AI in mind.
What does that actually look like as an attack scenario?
So imagine you have an AI agent, a system that autonomously performs tasks for your business. Maybe it processes invoices, or answers customer queries, or manages inventory requests. That AI agent has to get its data from somewhere. It pulls from databases, from APIs, from internal systems. If those underlying systems are compromised, if they are serving up poisoned data or stale credentials, the AI agent just trusts what it is given and acts on it.
And the attacker never even has to touch the AI system directly.
Exactly. They compromise the old database or the legacy server that the AI is reading from, and suddenly your AI agent is making decisions based on attacker-controlled information. Daniel's framing was great. Treat your AI pipelines like a clean room, not a haunted house. A clean room in manufacturing is a sterile environment where everything that goes in is verified and controlled. A haunted house is full of things you cannot see, from the past, doing things you did not expect.
And that naps directly to the DeFi tap story, the squid bleat story, all of this unaddressed technical debt becoming an attack surface the moment you connect it to a modern AI system.
And this is where it becomes an executive conversation, not just an IT conversation, because the decision to keep running old infrastructure is often a budget decision or a business continuity decision. We cannot afford the disruption of replacing it. But the calculus has changed. Legacy infrastructure connected to AI systems multiplies the risk. The cost of replacement has to be weighed against the cost of a breach that flows through your AI pipeline.
What should a business owner actually do with this framing this week?
Ask your IT team or your CTO one question. What systems are our AI tools pulling data from? And when were those systems last security audited? Get the answer in writing. If the answer is, we do not know, or years ago, that is your action item. Map it, then audit it, then prioritize based on risk.
And Daniel's point about the Fortinet and Android developer deadlines reinforces the same theme. Whether it is hardware, software, or platform policies, the days of deferring security modernization are over. The attackers are not deferring anything.
The NCSC statistics says it all. 3/4 of attacks on critical systems linked to hostile nation states. These are not opportunistic hackers. They are patient, well-resourced, and they find the gaps between your new systems and your old ones.
All right, before we wrap, let us do our 3 takeaways for the week. Sarah, hit us.
Takeaway 1. Squid bleed is real. It is active, and if squid proxy is in your network, patch it this week. Ask your IT team today.
Takeaway 2. Malicious Google ads delivering Castle Stealer via OaksLoader means your employees cannot click their way to safety. You need DNS filtering and a software download policy, not just training.
Takeaway 3. If you are deploying AI tools, you need to ask one question immediately. What legacy infrastructure is feeding your AI, and is it secure? That question is now a board-level conversation.
That is CyberShield Weekly for June 22, 2026. If this episode helped you think differently about your risk posture, share it with a colleague, a fellow business owner, your operations manager, anyone who needs to hear it.
Subscribe wherever you get your podcasts so you never miss an episode. We drop every Tuesday.
We'll see you next Tuesday. Stay sharp, stay protected.